Greetings and salutations. Gene Rayburn here with Monitor on the biggest and most joyous weekend of the year. And we open with some of the biggest and most joyous music you'll hear in this holiday season. On Monitor, Eugene Ormandy and the Philadelphia Orchestra with Good King Wenceslas.
Somebody had to do it. Somebody had to put fresh taste in a filter cigarette. New Chesterfield menthols did it, and we're glad. You might have known that Chesterfield, with its 50 years of tobacco experience, would be the one to do it.
Somebody had to do it. Somebody had to put fresh taste in a filter cigarette. New Chesterfield menthols did it.
Christmas memories are generally warm and gentle ones, if you've been fortunate. But in the case of the man from whom we're about to hear, there's no predicting at all what he'll remember. He's Marty Allen, the rotund, curly-haired half of the comedy team of Allen and Rossi, who teamed up for this conversation with Monitor's Betty Grobley in Washington.
Marty, what was your most memorable Christmas? Do you have one in particular?
Yes, meeting my parents.
And after that?
Huh?
And after that?
And they took me for a walk, and they showed me. It was snowing. I remember it was snowing. And they sent me off to school, and when I came back, they had moved. But I'm only kidding, Betty. All my Christmases have been very memorable in the fact that they've always been very happy and joyous occasions because I'm always with my friends.
You said you weren't from a poor family.
I had lots of love. I had a lot of love and affection. I had so much love and affection that I ran away from home to try to find the other things. But I found that everybody had their own problems, so I went back to my love and affection.
You mean you've made it in show business on talent?
Well, yeah, you could say that. I had no problems. I don't go up to anybody and say, listen, I'm from... I never had anything. I've always had something going.
What about...
I had books, and my mother and dad were very good to me.
What about...
They hung up my stocking. I had a long stocking. It was long. It ran like about... It was about 3 feet long, and they put a train in it. It was the Pennsylvania and
that's
Southern...
Rich.
And that's...
Oh, that's rich.
I often wonder about, like, the Rockefellers. They bought their kids blocks. They bought them 63rd Street and 64th Street and 65th Street. And, you know, everybody gets all kind of little gifts. And I just wondered.
Do you remember a particular gift that you got, Marty, that still...
A comb.
A comb?
And I didn't know what it was.
I can understand that. You never have found out
no,
to this day.
No, I thought it was some kind of musical instrument. I used to go...
You've been playing it ever since and not using it.
Never used it. But the only thing is, in discussing such things, but I find that Christmas is very festive.
Well, this is going to be some kind of anniversary for you, Christmas, isn't
well,
it?
Well, actually,
Steve.
Yes, Steve and I were brought together about 7.5 years ago by the late, great Nat King Cole. And I always think that he'd be very proud if he'd see the...
Marty, who suggested the billing? It's Alan and Rossi instead of Rossi and Alan. Who
suggested phonetically...
it just sounds better.
Sounds better. We could have said Rossi and Alan. It sounds too much like a vermouth. So we made it Alan and Rossi. It just happened to, like they say, Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis, or Bud Abbott and Lou Costello. Always seemed the straight man was first. But in this case, phonetically speaking, we wanted everything to be right with the act. We made it Alan and Rossi.
And that is Alan of Marty Allen, and this is Betty Grobley of Washington for Monitor.
Now, here's a sort of audio Christmas card from someone else you hear on Monitor during the year.
This is Arlene Francis wishing the listeners of Monitor the merriest of Christmases.
And a Merry Christmas to you, Arlene, from all of us on the Monitor Beacon.
Season's greetings from WNBC New York.
Ladies and gentlemen, the return of the beloved Herring Maven, a digression.
Could you serve pickles to a king? This is the question I was asked by a lady person from Far Rockaway who is going to have a very famous king to dinner. Well, I replied by way of answering her, you should remember that kings aren't so different from regular people. They just had better luck with their parents. And so, like regular people, they would be crazy about a good pickle. But, I continued, going on, you must be careful what kind of pickle you serve a king. You wouldn't want to let a common pickle touch a royal tongue. So, you should serve only a vita pickle to a king, because a vita pickle is always a perfect pickle. Always crisp, always tangy, always a pickle that makes a person gay and happy. The way you could tell when a king is eating a vita pickle is when he's all done, he says, Gadzooks! That was a pickle!
The beloved Herring Maven has been brought to you by the makers of Vita Herring. Apparently, they make pickles fit for a king, too.
Gene Wayburn once again, and we're 17 minutes closer to Christmas than we were at the beginning of this Monitor Hour. Closest of all right now, a song by Lena Horne.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight. Walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away is the bluebird. Here to stay is a new bird. He sings a love song as we go along. Walking in a winter wonderland. In the meadow we can build a snowman, then pretend that he is far from ground. He'll say, are you married? We'll say, no, man. But you can do the job when you're in town. Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the fire. that we made, walking in a winter wonderland. He sings a love song as we go along, strolling in a winter wonderland. In the meadow we can build a snowman, then pretend that he is tossing around. He'll say, are you married? We'll say, no, ma'am, but you can do the job when you're in town. Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the fire to face unafraid the plans that we made, walking in a winter wonderland. Hey, baby, my feet are getting a little bit cold, but I'll keep on walking in our winter wonderland.
Will there be snow for Santa's sleigh tonight? As part of Monitor's holiday weekend coverage of Christmas preparations and activities coast to coast, we now check in on the national weather, and we take a few moments for the switch to Bill Ingram, NBC News, Chicago.
Following weeks and weeks of fretting, mostly in the part of youngsters wanting to use skates and skis and such, winter has finally made its appearance in much of the eastern half of the U.S. Only thing, it was slightly overdone. New record low temperatures for this date were set across a vast reach of the nation last night. In Roosevelt, Utah, 16 degrees below zero was the nation's low reading. In that area, such is not unexpected. However, the second lowest reading was in Gilbert, Arkansas, with a minus 13. Much of Arkansas has been muffled by an 18-inch snowfall. Kentucky and Tennessee were in the path of last night's strong snowstorm with falls of more than half a foot. Parts of Virginia and West Virginia have or will have snow levels of 8 inches or more. The airborne snow factory is now moving, headed to the northeast, and snow depths of 6 inches or more are to be spread over parts of Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. The latest advisories tell of the possible reach of the snow clear to New Hampshire. Gale warnings are in effect off Virginia and from Rhode Island to Maine. Already, at least 16 storm-connected traffic deaths have been recorded in a 13-state area, including Kentucky, Tennessee, and Virginia, with new hazardous driving warnings now in effect for that area and beyond. Elsewhere on this eve day of Christmas, heavy snow is reported in the northern Rockies. Extreme cold is being known by those in Minnesota, the Dakotas, and Montana. On the Pacific coast, rain has been falling in the northwest sector. In the southwest, the days are bright, but the nights are cold, abnormally so. The southeast is having the taste of strong winter, with heavy rains and freezing temperatures from Texas to Florida, except for the strip along the Gulf. It'll be cool and rainy in the south of Florida. However, in spite of the belated and belabored arrival of winter, the word is that all flight lanes are open for the merry gentleman in the sleigh to depart on schedule to be pulled by his sky-racing reindeer and to so brighten the earth. Merry Christmas. Bill Ingram, NBC News, Chicago.
Okay, Bill, we thank you. Throughout the weekend, we'll be checking around the country for reports on holiday preparations and activities.
Remember the night last winter when you parked your car outside all gassed and ready to go, but next morning you found its windshield and its wipers buried deep behind ice and snow? Remember? It took you a miserable hour or more to clear your windshield. Your defrosters wouldn't do it. Your windshield washer only made it worse. So if you have your good ANCO dealer add a pint can of the new ANCO antifreeze to the water in your windshield washer, you merely turn on your washer and watch the ice disappear in mere seconds. Stop at the first service station where you see the new big bright yellow ANCO windshield wiper service cabinet. Ask the man to add a can of ANCO washer antifreeze, as directed on the can, and to tuck a few extra cans in your car to make sure you're safe if the storm strikes again. Or if blinding salt splash gets on your windshield, ANCO windshield washer antifreeze will give you ice-free and salt-free clear vision down to 10 degrees below zero. Get it today.
You know, at Christmas time, you just can't help thinking back to your early celebrations of this holiday. And a recollection of something that made the day a beautiful one for me has been stirring in my mind. I'd like to tell you about it right after a bit of seasonal song from Andy Williams.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. From now on, our troubles will be miles away.
One of the most memorable Christmases for me was a time many years ago, right after World War II. I came home to New York City, didn't have much money, went back to my old job, which paid me less money than I was making as a second lieutenant on flight pay, and couldn't find a place to live in New York, and finally kept looking in the suburbs and getting further and further out of the city, and ended up in Garrison, New York, which is 63 miles from the city. But we took this house up there, and it had a lot of acreage connected with it, but it was inexpensive and something I could afford. It was in the country. My daughter by that time must have been 4 or 5 years old, I guess. And the Christmas that stands out in my mind is that little tot and I trudging up a hill in this countryside and looking for a Christmas tree and then cutting it down and dragging it home together and setting it up and decorating it. Well, that is just one of the best Christmases I think I've ever had, in spite of the fact that I think I was poorer than I've ever been in my life. And just recently, my daughter, who is now a young lady, graduated from college, went up to Sugarbush up in Warren, Vermont, a ski area. She likes to ski, and we have a little hunk of land up there. And she went up in this property of ours with a friend who had a saw, and they found a Christmas tree and cut it down, and that sweet child tied it on top of the station wagon and hauled it all the way to New York from Vermont and said, "Here, Daddy, here's a Christmas tree from our own land." And that brought back a wonderful memory of her when she was 4 or 5 years old, and we did the same thing together. Monitor Coast to Coast on NBC is heard in northwestern Ohio and southern Michigan over WSPD Toledo. And speaking of Toledo, there's a wonderful exhibition titled The Age of Rembrandt. Over 100 paintings by Dutch artists at the Toledo Museum of Art. If you're in the neighborhood, you drop in. Gene Rayburn dropping out for just a few moments while you hear from a man to whom we wish the very best of everything, not just at Christmas, but all year round.
This is Bob where there's life hope, and I hope there's a lot of happiness and joy in your life this Christmas season.
We wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
This is Monitor, your host to a pleasant weekend on the NBC Radio Network.
Hi, this is Big Wilson. I wonder if you're doing anything special Christmas morning. I expect so. I'm doing something special for my family, at least. We'll be celebrating Christmas on WNBC Radio from my home, Sunday morning between 5 and 9 o'clock. I'll have lots of Christmas music, and we'll all open our presents together. Maybe you and I will share Christmas morning together. Sunday morning from 5 to 9.
Happy Holidays!
From WNBC New York. What was a strange-sounding Christmas present that woke Margaret Truman when she was a little girl back in Independence, Missouri? Well, you'll hear the answer and more of the personal recollections of the former president's daughter in 2 minutes right here on Holiday Monitor. I'm Gene Rayburn.
There must have been some magic in that old silk hat they found, for when they placed it on his head, he began to dance around. Frosty the Snowman was a jolly, happy soul, with a corncob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal. Frosty the Snowman is a fairy tale, they say. He was made of snow, but the children know to life one day. He led them down the streets of town right to the traffic cop, and he only paused a moment when he heard him holler stop. Poor Frosty the Snowman had to hurry on his way, but he waved goodbye saying, "Don't you cry, I'll be back again." Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen. But do you recall the most famous reindeer of all?
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows.
All of the other reindeers used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer game.
Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, "Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight?"
Then how the reindeer loved him,
as they shouted out with glee, "Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you'll go down in history."
Merry music by Mancini on Monitor. You know, we all have special memories of Christmases past, but you'd think that someone as special as the daughter of a president of the United States might have extra special memories. So Monitor's Brad Crandall checked with former President Truman's daughter, Margaret, now wife of Clifton Daniel, managing editor of the New York Times.
What special things, if I may, in as much as we're right around Christmas, do you remember about your childhood Christmases in Independence?
Oh, I remember how much I loved them. We had a big tree, and we used to decorate it. I did most of the decorating. I had a couple of aunts around who would help decorate, while Dad sat and told everybody, "No, this side needs more decorations."
Supervised.
Yeah, supervised. Sitting, you know. Very smart. But they were, we had a big family then, and they were all there, and we all gathered around.
As an only child, were you spoiled at Christmas?
Oh, but completely.
Really?
I loved it.
You enjoyed that?
Oh, definitely.
You don't feel you've had to pay for it in later years?
Yes, now I have to get Christmas ready for my own children, and I no longer like Christmas very much. I like getting ready. You know, I like their reaction to it, but the things that have to be done that I didn't know about in those days.
That somebody else had always done.
That my parents did them, yes.
Quietly in the dark the night before.
Well, not only that, but it's just, you know, getting things organized, food and everything else.
You open your presents on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day?
No, Christmas morning.
Christmas morning.
It was a funny story about that, if you're interested.
Please.
A friend of my father's gave him a clock, a beautiful clock, that for the alarm played reveille with chimes. And I always went to church. I sang in the choir, Trinity Episcopal Church, and we all went to midnight service, which started at 11:15. Anyway, I didn't get home until about 1:15. And so I was kind of tired, and I decided I was kind of grown up and too blasé to get up early. Dad wanted to get up early and open presents, you know. And
well, they weren't going to get you
today.
Into that, no.
No, not that. I was going to sleep this Christmas morning. So he put the clock under my bed and set it for 8, and the chimes went off, and I didn't know anything about it. And all of us, imagine hearing reveille in chimes, and you can't find it. You know, I said, well, I've had it, you know. I've had it, I've been sent for, and there we are. And I was awake.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I was mad.
After your father was elected president, or succeeded to the presidency after Mr. Roosevelt's death, your family's Christmas must have changed pretty radically, didn't it?
It changed in locale, although after he was president, we went home for Christmases.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think, if I'm not mistaken, we only spent one Christmas in the White House, all the family. We always went home. But all the family came one Christmas and spent Christmas in the White House.
And spent it in the White House. Did you try pretty much to celebrate it the same way,
we went to Independence.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see. You mean when they came?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we had our own tree on the second floor, and there was nothing but family on the second floor.
In other words, you kept it just like home, except it happened to be in Washington.
Happened to be in the White House, yes.
Uh-huh. Where about Christmas this year? Are you going back to Independence or staying here in New York?
No, I'll stay here in New York. It's kind of hard to move four little boys around.
Which you will
with all the presents and everything.
Then you're not likely to be seeing your father over the holidays.
I don't know. I don't think so, no. I don't think he's going to come this year.
Does the Clifton Daniel family celebrate Christmas in any different way from the way you celebrated it back home? Are there any unusual aspects to it?
I don't think so. My husband and I were raised about the same way. We had only one bone of contention, which he is going to compromise with me. This Christmas, he was accustomed to having his Christmas dinner at night.
Mm-hmm.
And this was kind of a drag, and we always had ours about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, 1 or 2 o'clock. So this year, he's going to compromise with me. We're going to have it at 1, so all the children can be
and
at
so
the
rather
table.
Than do either, you do something else that neither likes at all.
No, this is what I like.
We're doing it your
last
way.
Last Christmas, I did it his way.
Oh, you haven't compromised. You're taking turns.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I'm working on this.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you're taking turns, only he hasn't got his yet, right?
Yes, he has. Last Christmas, he had his dinner at night. Now, come on. He always gets his turn. Don't worry.
Mrs. Daniel, thank you very much for joining us on Monday.
I enjoyed it.
We've been talking with the daughter of former President Harry S. Truman, wife, the New York Times managing editor Clifton Daniel, and mother of four boys in her spare time, Margaret Truman Daniel.
And from all of us at Monitor, best wishes for the holiday season to Mr. and Mrs. Daniel and the four little Daniels, and we hope they enjoy that early dinner tomorrow. Now for your enjoyment today, music on Monitor. The voice of Nat Cole.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir. And folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you. Simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
You're on the monitor beacon, friends, so you stay with us.
WNBC, New York.
Gene Rayburn with more of Holiday Monitor and Holiday Fred Waring and his Pennsylvanians, too. Somebody had to do it. Somebody had to put fresh taste in a filter cigarette. New Chesterfield menthols did it, and we're glad. You might have known that Chesterfield, with its 50 years of tobacco experience, would be the one to do it.
Somebody had to do it. Somebody had to put fresh taste in a filter cigarette. New Chesterfield menthols did it.
No Christmas would be complete without the retelling of one of the most famous, if not the most famous, of Christmas stories. The classic written back near the beginning of the 19th century by Clement Moore. Children of all ages from 3 to 93 will enjoy this version by Lorne Green.
'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced through their heads. And Mama in her kerchief, and I in my cap, had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters, and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave luster of midday to objects below. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh, an 8 tiny reindeer, with a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now, Dasher! Now, Dancer! Now, Prancer and Vixen! On, Comet! On, Cupid! On, Dunder and Blitzen! To the top of the porch! To the top of the wall! Now, dash away! Dash away! Dash away all! As dry leaves that before a wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up to the housetop the coursers they flew, with a sleigh full of toys, and St. Nicholas too. And then in a twinkling I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur, from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled! His dimples, how merry! His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard on his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke, it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk, and laying his finger aside of his nose, and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night."
Merry Christmas, Lorne. Thanks. Now, Monitor presents Sport of Speed. Each week, Ted Webb brings you news, views, and results from the world of auto racing, one of the biggest of all spectator sports. Here's Ted with today's report.
Thank you, Gene. Auto racing aficionados, especially those conversant with the international type, will have a ball when the just-released screenplay Grand Prix is booked into theaters in their part of the country. This full-length John Frankenheimer film world-premiered in New York last Wednesday, and in the opinion of this commentator, is by far the best of the many attempts to capture the thrills of high-speed competition and project it on the screen. The racing sequences are authentic, with very few exceptions, and the sound effects are loud. Although there are four crack-ups to prop the plot, the emphasis is on speed. The film deals with Formula One, 3-liter cars, and the action follows the 1966 battle for top honors in the effort to attain World Driver Championship standing. Obviously, no expense for a total of $7,500,000 was spared in capturing the authentic sights and sounds of competition, starting with the meet at Monte Carlo and moving successively to the course at Clermont-Ferrand in France, Brands Hatch in England, Spa in Belgium, Zandvoort in the Netherlands, and winds up at Monza in Italy. As it stands, this three-hour picture, which will be short and some for general distribution, is a smashing and thundering compilation of racing footage shot superbly at the big meets around the circuit, belting you with such a barrage of magnificent shots of the racing cars seen from every angle and every possible point of intimacy that you really feel as though you've been in it after you've seen this film. Taking part in the racing, as well as in off-the-course scenes, are such luminaries as Jack Brabham, Graham Hill, Joe Bonya, Dan Gurney, and Phil Hill, among others, who retained as advisors and added authenticity by also taking part in the competition shots. The plot of the film may not be all to your liking, but it serves to carry the action, which in itself is very well worth seeing. If you like racing, especially the road-type course, see Grand Prix. On Tuesday last, the United States Auto Club announced distribution of $85,944 in point funds for four divisions of racing. The championship division, which includes the Indianapolis 500-mile race, participated for the first time. Mario Andretti of Nazareth, Pennsylvania, repeat champion, and his car owner, Al Dean of Long Beach, California, picked up $6,000. A percentage of each purse is held out during the season and put in the point pot. Norm Nelson, Racine, Wisconsin, picked up $17,223 in the stock car division as both car owner and driver. Roger McCluskey, Tucson, Arizona, won an extra $9,000 in the sprint division, and Mike McGreevy, repeat midget division champ from Hayward, California, picked up $2,129. On this day before Christmas, Sport of Speed wishes all a very happy holiday. This is Ted Webb for Monitor Sports.
Sport of Speed, featuring Ted Webb, America's foremost authority on auto racing, is brought to you every Saturday and Sunday, coast to coast on NBC Monitor.
Hi, this is Joe Garagiola. If you're a football fan, then you're a cinch to be interested in the bowl games. Nobody can get to all of them, so why not have them come to you? NBC Radio will bring you a big football tripleheader on January 2nd. First from the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans, it's Nebraska against Alabama. Then from the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, the game between Southern California and Purdue. And to top it all off, the Orange Bowl game from Miami, Georgia Tech, and Florida. If football's your game, then NBC Radio is your answer.
Short downhill sleigh ride there with Arthur Fiedler and the Boston Pops. Well, Monitor will continue. Latest NBC Monitor news just 1 minute away. Gene Rayburn here.
This is Robert Preston. I'd like to take this opportunity to wish all Monitor listeners a very Merry Christmas.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
You're traveling with Monitor throughout the holiday weekend on the NBC Radio Network.